Welcome back to another episode of Sportscastle. I'm Chris.
I'm Jared.
This week in Newcastle and Hunter Sport.
Newcastle solid as steel.
Kelly has the golden gift.
Jet Strike Force still missing in action.
Tit for tat in the search for the right price.
Wallsend Sanger is a star on the rise.
All that and more in local sport. All right, mate, we might start with a bit of news from Breaking this morning, and we'll claim her as a local girl, Isabel Kelly. She's a coastie, but spent some time up here playing for the North Newcastle Blues in the New South Wales Women's Premiership before the Women's NRL started with a flutter this year. So she's won the Rugby League International Foundation's Golden Boot for the best international representative player of 2018. So great to see. It'd be a while since someone's gone from North Newcastle to play for Australia.
Yeah, certainly would have. Probably could, probably could have happened in the 70s or 80s, but not in this day and age. But no, it's well done to her. And hopefully we can get her on the show, mate.
Well, that would be excellent. There is actually, I can confirm, there's a few of those women that went on to play for Australia from that side. I know Beck Young was involved in the side as well as, I think, Emma Young maybe. So there's a few of them there that have gone on. But big congrats to Isabel Kelly on winning that award, and great to see it on the same night and as a part of a showcase with the men's award. And good overall, and I guess at the end of the day the women's sport is starting to kick on, and Big Al would have been rapt about this one this morning.
He was all over it, mate. He was loving it, and he really liked that you shared it and put it on the page, mate. And
I didn't see him like or comment on it. He doesn't really like or comment on much, just creeps in the background.
But
his no profile picture.
Yeah, that is correct, yes. He's always a limber.
Yeah, oh, exactly right. So I heard he went on an interesting movie date today, but we'll leave that for another time.
Yes.
We'll move on, mate. While we're on rugby league, we'll have a look at the women's nines. We've actually got some scores this week, so it's very exciting. No try scorers, but good to see, mate. There were some fairly close games, a couple of shutouts as well, so as it stands at the moment, they've renamed Pool A and Pool B. They're now the maroon and yellow pools of the Hunter Women's Nines. And at this stage, looking at the results from the weekend, it looks like maybe Aberglasslyn and West both had a couple of wins. So Aberglasslyn getting over Stockton and Berkeley Vale, and West knocking over Woi Woi and Awabakal. So that was probably the top of the table sort of clash, that West and Awabakal game. And West shut out both their opponents, so a big win, 26-0 in the top of the table clash, and they're flying high and firing on all cylinders. West, top of the group, undefeated at this moment, and followed by your usual suspects of Awabakal and Aberglasslyn, as we thought. Aberglasslyn starting to hit their stride and getting a few of their players back. The Mick Akers have stopped taking them on benders on the weekends.
Yeah, the Ants, mate, they're flying the flag for the Upper Hunter. So
I did see a few of the comments today on the Isabel Kelly post, mate. I asked Aberglasslyn if they're going to get up there as their captain coach for the ladies tackle, and they're preparing a contract offer as they speak. Apparently it includes a 100 metre exclusion zone for Shane Tapper.
I thought you were going to say strapping tape, but no, that's good.
Oh yeah, well, that's basically how they're going to measure it, is just the amount of strapping tape that he uses. That's how far away he's going to stay.
Yeah, that'll be handy.
Good to see poor old Woi Woi, they're battling away. They're getting flogged every week or anything, but they just haven't chalked their first win yet. So hopefully for them, it's not too far away.
It's surprising there, mate. Stockton, they're running sixth, but they actually beat Waratah in a nail biter, 14-12, I saw. So
yeah, I think that was breaking their duck as well, mate. So that was their first win. And there's not that much that separates some of these teams. And I suppose on your day, if you've got a couple out, nine aside, then, there's been some warm weekends recently. Like, it would have been warm on Saturday having a run.
Very warm, yeah.
Some of these games have been played at sort of 11:30, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, right in the peak of the day. So, but on to the second pool, mate, and having a look at, again, University dropping a game to Berkeley Vale Yellow, which was a bit of a surprise, and pretty convincingly as well there at St John. Karua getting a big win over Tea Gardens, and Wanji, they're the undefeated side. Got a couple of wins there, knocked off Karua and Budgiewoy, so sitting up atop of the yellow pool, mate. And Yeah, poor old Budgerwood and Tea Gardens. They only got the one win each, so at least they've broken their duck, though.
Yeah, so they played two games a weekend.
That's exactly right, mate. Because it's 9-a-side, they only play 9 minute and a half. So generally, sort of, yeah, as a rule, you play two games most weekends. I don't know. I think because of there's only seven teams in the first pool, one team only gets one game. Sort of one, yeah. Two teams only get one game. But yeah, so having a look ahead, mate. The fixtures this weekend was at St John last weekend, so I'm gonna say it's down at Berkeley Vale. Obviously, new song with two ovals and. Looking at the fixtures, it says one of the games at 1:05 a.m. I think that could be a typo. It could be 11:05 a.m. maybe, or 11:45 or something. I don't know, 10:50. Certainly won't be at 1:05 a.m. But yeah, plenty of football action down there. Starting from about 11 and running through to probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock. So absolute good option, good opportunity if you're down on the coast to get out and watch some football, some rugby league.
Yes.
Might see Usain Bolt playing.
So Bowie is looking for a contract.
Oh, touch judging.
Yeah, it'd be
a great linesman, wouldn't he?
He'd be able to
get down to the corner, mate. Just fly past Billy Coffey into the corner and make the call.
He would. He'd always be ahead of play, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing, though.
No, but I will say I think it'd be interesting to see how Waratah bounce back this week, mate. Because I know a few of the girls were floating at the Scone Sevens last weekend. They come runner up there, so a few of the girls will be back on board.
So the Waratah Union girls have gone to Waratah League, have they?
A couple of them are there.
I understand a couple up to Aberglasslyn as well.
They spread the love, mate, but I know there are a few.
Talking about women's sports spreading, right? We might leave it at that, mate. Move on to Hoff's House. And just before we get too deep into the A-League stuff, mate, make sure you check out, we've launched the first of our video sports shorts. We've progressed on from the audio concept. A few people sort of suggested it, and with thanks to a bit of support from the great man Troy Lowry over at Aerolax Australia, we've been able to get those up and running. And look, the production value of it's probably not, you know, Hollywood standard, but we've done what we can. And by all means, give us some feedback. Let us know if there is some people that you want to sort of see on there, and some players that you got some suggestions, and you know, guys that are up-and-comers or, you know, showing their wares in local sport, and we'll try and do what we can within reasonable requests. Probably limit your requests around the Knights and the Jets because we are hamstrung around who they offer to us, but it was a big opportunity to obviously get Stevie Ugarkovic on the show, and a big thanks to the Jets for, you know, providing some of his time around their what's a busy training schedule and at a time of the year where they're probably really focused on looking inwards.
Yeah, and hopefully a few of the Waratah boys put their hand up, mate.
Yeah, well, mate, there's...
Maybe get two or three on at a time.
Yeah, we'll get into the cricket a little bit later on, mate, and there's some announcements there around that, and we've got some other ideas and concepts and segments, and spoken to a couple of people about that, so there's some enthusiasm there. If we can get those rubber stamped by NBCA, we'll be flying. But let's focus on the game at hand, which is the A-League. Mate, 1-0, we went down to Melbourne Victory. Not the result we were looking for.
No, it definitely wasn't. Not the first game at home this year, and it's actually surprising.
You've been spending too much time with your wife.
Yeah, well, I think that Laurie might have been a little bit disappointed. I think they were hoping for that crowd up around 16,000, but it was a little bit down.
Mate, I have to say it's really disappointing. I think it was 11-8.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, what we're looking at is, I believe the membership as of kickoff was about 10-7. So what you're saying is, you know, like half these members don't show up. Like, why do you have a membership?
Yeah, I know. I was super keen. Two of the boys got left at home for disciplinary reasons, mate. So
learning from Roy.
Yeah, so yeah, played up at Santa on the beach photos, but yeah, I think they were just...
Can I take a punt and say which ones it was?
Well, you'll probably get one. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I knew Saxon was a prime candidate, mate.
But no, I think they had a lot of ball. They just, looked a little bit flat.
Yeah, but we came out really hard, and, you know, like, I was quite impressed with that first probably 20 minutes. And, mate, I thought Hoff pressed really well, rebounding from attack to defence a lot of the time, was putting a lot of effort. Jair looked like he's trying to take a few more chances. A few other guys looked a little bit off. Stevie Ugarkovic, Ben Kenarowski, when he came on, they looked good. Mitch Austin looked like he really had a point to prove when he came on. He just wanted to assault someone.
Yeah, he went up.
But, yeah, so, look, mate, at the end of the day, it is what it is. They are the defending premiers. know, many months separates it, and the only difference was there was no VAR controversy this time. So we'll move on from there and, you know, on to bigger and better things. But unfortunately, we're down in the cellar, one rung below our arch nemesis, the Coasties, mate. So, yeah, on the bright side, the only way's up.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll have to bounce back and get the season going, mate.
Mate, I see we're still fifth favourites to win the comp, though, so that's positive. So
yeah, we've got strike force to come back, mate. That's what they're missing. That's what they need.
Yeah, right? Well, that's it. It's just about, you know, how do you fit 14 into 11? It's going to be interesting this week as to what happens, and lots of people calling for Angus Thurgate off the back of a very impressive young Socceroos campaign to come in, but guess we'll wait and see, mate. And yeah, that's how it stands. But I guess we move on to this week. We might actually, while we're talking about last week, have a look at the tipping, mate. And the man, the X-Man,
King of Grinder,
he's taking the lead.
He's gone from last, literally last, stuck behind Forbesy, to first.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 on the weekend. So, mate, and Josh promised me that he was going to go heaps better this week because he actually put his tips in and. Mate, you're still coming last. I'm not far in front of you, but you're still coming last. So,
close, mate.
Anyone can win it from here. There's only three points separating first and last. And as Xavier showed, one good week, and anything can happen. So, mate, while we're here, just so that you can see what goes on, I'm going to actually put my tips in. So, while we're going through, so we'll start with the Friday night game, mate. You want to run us through it?
Yeah, this week we have Melbourne City again on a Friday night at home at Amy Park versus the Wellington Phoenix, mate.
Yeah, Wellington, their first loss last week, mate. So, a few question marks now over those. So, I guess City, pretty short price favourites here. And, mate, who do you like and what the margin are you going for?
Well, I do like Melbourne City. I think I've picked them every week, but the probably been a little bit underperforming, but I'm going to go with them, and I think they're going to win by a 2-goal margin, mate.
Mate, I'm all with you there. I'm going to go Melbourne City to win 3-1.
I was probably thinking the same thing.
There you go, mate. Great minds.
Same room, same thoughts.
Saturday, mate, the early game out at Glen Willow Stadium at Mudgee, your favourite venue. Mate, the Wanderers, they host the Brisbane Roar in a home-away-from-home game. The Wanderers are favourites there with the betting agencies and then hard to split the draw and the Roar. Who do you like and what are your thoughts?
Western Sydney were impressive last week across the ditch, but Brisbane have been impressive, probably haven't got the wins, but I'm going a draw.
Yeah, mate, with you there, I'm going to go the draw as well. I nearly went Western Sydney, but I just think they'd probably lose a bit. I don't know how much of the RBB will travel to Mudgee. There'll certainly be
is the coach back this week?
Site in Mudgee. I'm not too sure, mate, to be honest. I thought you would have researched that.
He went very hard the other week. I will find out.
Yeah, so that's one. That's the one, mate. The big game, though, we'll come back to the Jets and Sydney. Move on to the Sunday games. Adelaide United, they host Perth Glory in the Western States Derby, I guess you can call it.
At Hindmarsh.
Cooper's Stadium, mate. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what that is. That's because they don't use sponsors. Have a look at what they call Jets home ground too.
That's what it's called.
No, it's called McDonald Jones Stadium, mate. Yeah. Again, you've got no clue. You're way behind. Next, you'll call it the ISC. Mate, Adelaide United versus Perth. Quick tip. What are your thoughts?
Adelaide FA Cup champs, and I'm going them to win by a few goals, mate.
Mate, they're flying at the moment. Get on Craig Goodwin to score any time.
Score a million.
Yeah, I don't think you score a million. That could be a bit outrageous, mate. It looks like we're tipping all the same sides this week. So
boring.
Next up, mate, the Victory. $1.42 favourites against the Mariners at Amy Park on Saturday night, 7 p.m. kickoff.
It is. Second game of the weekend at Amy, mate, and I think it'll be the second victory for Melbourne. For the weekend.
Right, I'm going to the draw.
You're not getting on that 750 of the Mariners?
No, mate. Tempting, juicy. No, it's not. The 450 for the draw is not bad. I'm not minding that at all. I'll go the draw there. My four draws last week didn't pan out too well for me. but anyway, The main game, mate, the Jets versus Sydney, as we talked about, plenty to call for Angus Thurgate to come in. A few others calling for either Austin or Shepherd to start. Mate, I think Ernie will probably start with the same team. I think Thurgate will come onto the bench. He still needs a bit of a freshen up. Thing disappointing for me, mate, I was watching him train for an hour while I waited to do that interview with Steve Yagarkovich. Mate, they're doing this set piece drill where they sort of blokes crossing it from out wide, sort of, you know, just a little bit deeper than the 18-yard box, into the 18-yard box. They had two of those sort of, you know, dummies in there. And they had two players attacking it, and they're still only converting it about 40 to 50%.
Jeez.
There's no actual defenders in there.
Was Roy there?
No, Roy wasn't in that drill when I was watching, mate. The most potent around that area was actually Steve Garkovich and Ben Kanarovsky. So Thurgate was putting him in nicely. The Hoff and Nigel Bugar were crossing in some nice balls, and a few of the youth squad boys were a little bit rusty. But, yeah, I guess we'll just wait and see what happens there, mate. But, yeah, I think Ernie will probably run with the same team again this week before making any drastic changes.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, mate. I'm thinking it's going to be a tough night for the boys this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Sydney by 2 goals, mate.
You're a true fan, mate. You're a true fan. I'm going to go the draw. Love a draw. It is optimistic, obviously, but, you know, I think we can, you know, find a goal and maybe shut them down. If we can shut down Lafondre, that's going to be the key for me. But, yeah, look, Sydney are flying high, but they've also been on a bit of a rollercoaster. They've had a really busy last week, and they've been up for a lot of that, obviously. Had the derby, they had the FFA Cup, and then they had their game last week against...
The Friday night game.
Yeah, the Friday night game against City.
City, yeah.
So I'm expecting them to just be a little bit fatigued by all that, having to be up for all those games. And yeah, look, I think the Jets might take opportunity from it. Hopefully we can get sort of 15, 20,000 to the ground. I think anything less than 15 is abysmal. Hopefully we'll get as many as we can down there. Bay One packed out. Don't forget, you guys, too, they have opened up that new members bar above Bay One. So it's open from when gates open. I know last week they had Johnny Katrumbis, Joel Griffiths and Roy O'Donovan over there talking to everyone. So it's a bit of an added thing to it. Like, Laurie's trying to really drive these things. The guys at McDonald Jones Stadium are trying to drive these things as well to really make it an atmosphere about the people. So all you need to be able to get in there is to show your members pass. They've got a bit higher graded food up in there as well, some nicer steak sandwiches and stuff rather than the ones you might get from the Bay Marie's downstairs later in the day. So they're really trying to drive that sort of stuff there, which is really good. In other positive news, when I was at training on Tuesday, Joey Champness was starting to dribble the ball and just sort of running some quite slow laps on his foot, which is probably a pretty good sign, I would suggest, in case his DJing career doesn't work out.
Yeah, well, I thought that you were going to say, and it's breaking news, you got offered a contract or a striker role, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm a bit slow for that, mate, and a bit crippled. I'm more crippled than Joey Champness and Johnny Katrumbis combined.
Yeah, well, let's hopefully we get the result. We got the backs against the wall result last time we played him here, mate.
Geordie Booyas with his theatrical rolling.
And we got that red card to Roy, and we played with 10 and we beat him 2-1, so.
We're down 1-0, I think, when the card went down too. So, look, mate, at the end of the day, I just want to touch on that. And I was having a chat with one of the guys from the media department, the Jets, about this. The diving and rolling nonsense, it happened again. I can't think who it was from Victory Lot. If you're able to, once you go to ground, then roll twice, you're probably all right. Like, and it's not just rolling, they throw themselves, like it's theatrical. If the FFA want football, soccer to catch on in Australia, they need to ban these players after the fact.
Yeah, I agree.
So they need to, the only way they get out of the ban is if they can demonstrate that they've been injured through a neutral doctor as a you know, result of that. But if it's found that they dive, take advantage and gain a free kick, minimum one match suspension. They start cracking down. I understand, like, while the rules are what they are, I don't blame the players too much. But they need to crack down on it, set a precedent, set an edict, so that the fans, you know, as it stands, a lot of blue-collar fans won't get into football unless that's where they've come from, a cultural background or a sporting background. So that's the big thing that needs to change. I know Big Al and I have talked about it ad infinitum at games. which was quite ironic when they did play Sydney last year, and he's telling me what a great player Jordy Bouyas was just as he went down and did that, and then he ate his words. But, yeah, they literally need to fix that. It's really straightforward. It's really simple. I think that's all that needs to be said on it. Get it fixed, FFA, because until you start to take action and stop players from doing it, I know it's hard,
yeah,
but you need to start doing it. Otherwise, it will continue, it will get be exacerbated, and it's just, you know, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, Laurie, sort it out.
Exactly right, mate. But that's probably enough A-League chat, unless you've got anything else you need to cover off on.
No, mate, it's all good. We're looking forward to the weekend.
Beautiful, mate. We'll move along to the cricket action, mate. And day one of the 2 days is behind us for the
first proper round. Cricket's back.
Well, it depends who you're talking to, mate. But yeah, so the more recognisable white clothes are back out there. The rainbow pyjamas have been put away.
Yeah.
Sam's probably still got his out, though. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
So we're on to the first day of the 2 days. We'll just run through really quickly, mate. I just want your thoughts. We won't delve too much into scores and those things, just the really big ones in terms of, you know, the big efforts. Luke Muddle, a big century, got Belmont out of a bit of trouble there now. They got 244, and Cardiff, 246 in reply. Who do you like from here?
I still think Cardiff will get home, mate, but they've got a lot of work to do. But I think I'm confident they can get it done, mate.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see that Belmont will lose, obviously, one of their guns in Toby Gray. He's away with the rep squad.
Yeah.
So that'll be a bit of a loss in terms of their stocks. But outside of that, I think they'll have everyone on deck. Raoul Bakshi and Nick Watkins will be in the rep squad, both already out anyway. So... A lot will fall to the likes of the Bills and Mr. Sharma.
Sharma, yes.
So, moving on, mates, that's the first of the games.
Did the two boys that replace Watkins and Bashy, they just bring deck chairs this week?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. bracketed in for a long afternoon of sunshine and tanning. Mate, Adrian Chad showed what a crucial element he is for Toronto, posting 102 in their total of 301 against Charlestown. Probably the standout of the bowlers for Charlestown was Rory Madison, mate, getting 4 wickets. So 7 mains, 4 for 62, not a bad day out. And then Charlestown in reply, no wicket for 16, both Daniel Arms and Benchy on 7 runs. Who's in the box seat here, mate?
I'm still sticking with my original prediction, mate. I'm going the Magpies out there at Ron Hill.
Yeah, so who do they lose this week, mate? They'll lose...
their skipper, Jed Dixon.
Yeah, so I'm thinking he's the only one that they'll lose.
Chaddy's out for Toronto Workers.
Yeah, so Chaddy will be out. So, yeah, that'll be probably balance itself out. I mean, Chaddy's a bit of, you know, I was going to say he's a part-time bowler, but that's probably a bit harsh on him. He can bowl a bit, but they've got some handy enough bowlers who can, you know, come in there, and just depends who's bracketed in for him as well, I guess.
You pick him, mate.
Hey, the runs on the board are hard to argue with. 301. Obviously, it was a good batting deck. And thing is, you know, what turns up at Ron Hill next week? Is it going to be a green top?
Nah, it's a great wicket out there and good outfield. So I think the first session's critical.
Yeah, look, if Charlestown can get the lunch less than 2 down, they sit themselves in the box seat. If they lose 2 or more, and start to get into, you know, and as I said, like, just depending on who's been bracketed in for Jed,
yeah,
is going to be the interesting question. So,
yeah, Bailey McGill was probably the key there, I reckon, in the middle order.
Yeah, he quite well could be. I'm just trying to have a look here through the lower order, and it looks like either Hitchcock or Claridge is the player that's been bracketed in, based on the batting lineup. So. Just having a look here. So Josh Claridge has got a pretty handy batting average, mate. About 38, so he could be the man. He could step up.
Yeah, well, hopefully for Magpie's sake, mate, they can, but I think it's going to be cracker out there.
Yeah, certainly be a good one on Saturday, and the weather's supposed to be fine and cool, so it's a good day for batting and fielding. Mate, Merriweather, they posted 9 for 318 from their 90 overs. Simon Moore with 85, and mate, Tim O'Neill coming in at the tail with 88 not out.
Yeah, he did well, mate.
Not bad at that late stage, coming in at, what are we looking at there, coming in at number 8. So he came in at number 8, so that would have been, 187, put on a 100-run partnership with Courtney Moulton. Obviously scored the majority of those, so... it's certainly going to be a long day at the office, I would have thought, for Newcastle City next week, chasing 318. There'll be a lot of pressure on Jonty Major, I would have thought.
Yeah, there will be, mate. And I think Merriweather's probably happy to get back into the Whites, as we stated there. And I think Morey will lead the boys to victory, not with his bowling, but his captaincy.
Yeah, mate. He still gets about pretty well on the field, as he showed.
He can bowl too.
Last week, running out Mr. Bakshi on 99.
Yes.
Interesting question. I had it pointed out to me during the week that Nick Watkins of Cardiff is actually he's got significant hearing loss, or hearing inability of his hearing. He's got a cochlear implant, I understand. So interesting to see how that makes the communication between wickets, and I wonder if that was an influence on Bakshi being run out on 99. But a mention to young O'Sullivan from City, 5 wickets against Merriweather from 20 overs, 5 for 77, so a good day at the office for him, but would have been a long day in the field with a couple of close to centuries there. Wes and Hamwicks, mate, this is the performance of the round, our player of the round. Mr. Joe Price, 7 for 49 of 21.4 overs, going just over 2 and over, taking 7 wickets. Restricted a pretty strong Hamwicks batting lineup to 214, and Wes already off their 17 overs, 1 for 62. So, mate, you just about put your house on that. Joe Price not playing rep cricket, so if he can get over his groin strain from last week, we'll go back out to bat. They will lose.
Bradley Aldous
and Pete Loschek. Probably in terms of Pete Loschek, not a huge loss in their batting lineup, but they still bat pretty deep, and just that may have been a big part in why they bowled first, knowing they'd lose 2 bowlers. So I certainly think they'll be looking at a victory there, Wes, mate.
And Benny Balcombe will be out for Hamwicks, but obviously they'll be in the field.
Yeah, so that is true. So that'll obviously bring in a replacement there behind.
Yeah, but I'm probably going to have to reverse my tip from last week, mate. I tipped Hamwicks, and I think Wes will get home from here.
Yeah, lovely, mate. Next up, mate, Uni, they posted a very competitive 256 against Stockton, probably a little bit lower than what a lot thought. Mitch Lowell with the top run scorer there coming into bat at 7 and posted 95, fell just short of his ton.
Former West first grader, mate. Now he's jumped over to the...
Mate, the thing that boys. The big stat for me here was Nick Foster. I don't know if you noticed anything special about his bowling stats.
He opened the bowling and he bowled every over from one end.
38 overs out of 76, so they had 2 bowlers who between them bowled 61 of the 76 overs, so some real concerns there. Obviously, it looks like I was quite surprised Harry Crittenden didn't bowl.
Just resting this week, mate.
Saving himself. So, did quite well to get through. He brought up the ton, Nick Foster, and they will be without Nick this week. So, probably good for them that they bowled last week, because otherwise I don't know what they would have done.
Yes.
They may find themselves bowling again quickly enough, though. They're already 1 for 22. Chasing that 256, but anything's possible if they get a couple of those guys. See what Terry Crittenden to come into bat, a pretty seasoned campaigner. If a couple of those guys can knuckle down, it'll be quite interesting. And a pretty rare occurrence, mate. Looking at their scorecard, they've got their wicketkeeper. They've got 2 wicketkeepers. So I'm not sure if that's a bracketing as well. Which if it is, it's going to really hurt them, because one of their wicketkeepers, Moody, is the one of the not-out men overnight. But I'll be back in university to get that one done, and expect the number one member of the Nathan Hudson fan club to step up with the ball, mate.
Yeah, now he's not playing rep cricket, he's been overlooked.
Yeah, he'll have a point to prove.
Yeah, he definitely will.
In other games, Waratah, they faced Wall's End out there, and the wickets were shared around, but probably the big one was James Beattie getting 4 for 54, and young Ethan Jeckott getting a wicket on debut, mate. So that's always handy. And he got one of the openers, which is always nice as well. Waratah posted 216. A bit disappointing to see one of the self-proclaimed unluckiest men not to be in the top 10 of our Player of the Year standings, John O'Toomey. Although I do hear he's quite the eligible bachelor. I'm not sure whether he's a Xavier kind of bachelor or a different one, mate, Grindr or Tinder, but that could be confirmed later in the year, only getting 11. So he did find the fence once, though, so... yes, and in reply, Wall's End, 1 for 80. Yeah, obviously not mucking about. They're scoring at 5 and over when they came out. And, yeah, I'd certainly think Wall's End, even with Nathan Price retired, to go away and play rep cricket this weekend, I would certainly think they will be in the box seat there, mate.
Yeah, mate.
Well, obviously they'll be missing Price and Montgomery, sorry, so...
Yeah, no, I think Wall's End will get the job done there, mate, with out the prices right, so...
Yeah, mate, look, they've got plenty of options there. Look for the likes of Anthony Young and Nathan Sneddon to step up, mate, and put some runs on, and maybe even the returning Ryan Brooks.
Yeah.
Plenty of batting there at Wall's End, even without Price and Montgomery this weekend. Mate, just having a look on to some of the lower-grade performances... well, actually, before we get onto that, mate, we might make a bit of an announcement. We've been having some conversations and negotiations with the great people at Newcastle District Cricket, and we're looking at developing that partnership and becoming the official podcast of the Newcastle District Cricket. So as part of that, we've made an arrangement where we will start to give a bit more coverage to lower grades where possible, and really spread that the net, I guess, of coverage and what we can do with them. So looking forward to that and a few more things that are in the work, which we'll hopefully have some scope to announce in the coming weeks. And we thank especially Aaron Gray from Newcastle District Cricket and Toronto Workers for, you know, reaching out and sort of facilitating that relationship. And we look forward to that being fairly prosperous and beneficial for all involved, mate. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it will, mate. Obviously, as we've stated a few times, it is a little bit quieter in the summer compared to the amount of winter sports, so... It's good that they're getting on board and
loving it. And,
loving Sports Castle,
mate. Hopefully, yeah, it looks like they're going to syndicate our cricket section, so that'll be available on their page. And I do know that our next Sports Shorts episode will actually be a Newcastle District cricket player. I've got that teed up for next week. So
Watch this space.
The hint I will give is he was a big off-season transfer, a big loss for his club, I'll say, that he transferred from. So we'll see if you can figure out who that is.
That could be anyone.
Comment, well, yeah, could be Scott Logan.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but yeah, comment in the comments if, we'll see if we can come up with some sort of little prize if you get it right. So, and the couple of people that already know, you cannot enter. So into the lower grades, not too many standout performances in the second grade competition, unfortunately, this week. But in third grade, mate, a great knock from Mark McLaughlin in the third grade, playing for West against Hamwicks. Peeled off 108 batting at number 8.
That's handy.
Not too bad at all. So, that was a fairly crucial knock for them. Having a look, they posted 399, but he obviously really helped kick that on off 62.5 overs. So, that's not a bad day at the office. It's not a bad day at the office, mate. That's a bit more than a runner ball.
And they only had 2 bowls, that's handy.
Well... No, that's...
Oh, that's their bowling.
Yeah, the scorecards aren't always as complete, mate, in the lower grades because it's just copied over from the score sheets. So. 1-15 Yeah, so Hamwicks will have their work cut out for them and, we'll wait
to be posted on that. Hopefully they have a crack, mate.
Yeah, get after it. Why not? And then a couple of fourth graders that stepped up, mate. The first one was one of your boys, Charles, and David Moore.
The veteran,
mate. Yeah, thank God he can bowl because that batting average is not looking great. His bowling average is actually lower than his batting average. that's normally pretty standard, but not when your batting average is 15.
Best bowling
8 for 1, mate. What's he doing in fourth grade?
He should be higher.
Yeah, Zach Payne, put him in first grade. But he got 5 for 62 off 20 overs on the weekend against Toronto at Charlestown Oval too. So pretty small ground. Good. I don't know too much. You obviously know who David is. What's he bowl, mate? Do you know?
He normally opens. He just bowls little dibbly dobblies. He's not express, but bowls stump to stump.
Easy enough on those grounds to get taken apart if you're not bowling, you know, some wheels and things. So you'd have to be right on the money. So well done, David, on a 5 for there. And The other one, mate, poor old... well, first of all, we'll just touch on the University game. University played Stockton at Corriba Oval over there on the peninsula, mate. And it was an interesting bowling affair. They used 10 bowlers. Three of whom only bowled one over, and two guys took seven of the 10 wickets. So everyone, it looks like nearly everyone got a bowl. That situation, mate, was unfortunately shared by Wall's End. Wall's End, all nine of their players, including the keeper, had a bowl, it looks. So, yeah, but unfortunately for them, Dalvi Rana and Mitchell Hunt both combined with tons in fourth grade there, so they'll be knocking on the door of third and second grade for Waratah in no time, probably taking Johnny Toomey's spot, mate.
Yeah.
Both with tons batting at 3 and 4, so it would have been a long day in the field for nine players from Wall's End over there at Wall's End number 3. But a big effort for them to continue on, I guess, in that match. And Waratah finished 2 for 294 declared. But yes, as I said, everyone having a bowl there by the look of it. So, interesting enough, there's a retirement there from their nine players, so he must be bracketed out for this week. So they're in a bit of trouble. 1 for 15 and one retired. So yeah, it's going to be a big chase for
maybe
them.
Maybe he's bracketed with Pricey.
Yeah, I don't think Pricey's coming back from there, mate. Yeah, well, tough day at the office for the boys at Wall's End, but some good knocks there by Messrs. Rana and Hunt, mate. So that's the lower grades wrap for this week. We'll move on to the representative cricket. Mate, the Newcastle Steel last week had a comfortable win, mate, against Illawarra. I understand they drove down in the morning all the way to North Dalton Park there at Wollongong and... took on Illawarra, very convincing win. Our man Nathan Price retained his alpha status, and mate, the alpha status, mate, I'm hearing there's a lot of chat about that amongst, especially the rep boys and a few of the other first grade boys. Good to hear a bit of banter there. Make sure you get into them. I did a bit of a longer write up this week and explained the alter egos we've given them, and we might revert just back to their normal personas next week. But happy to have some suggestions inbox to us on that. Or any other tidbits of gossip or anything else you'd like us to run with. We don't mind, running an unsubstantiated rumour, so it's not too slanderous.
That's right.
But yeah, mate, Nathan Price starred, mate. A few wickets, plenty of runs, scoring a knock of nearly, strike rate nearly 200.
Yeah, he did well, mate. He did very well. He obviously wanted to get back on the bus and get home, so...
Places to be, mate.
Yeah, 4 for 16, he only bowled 3 overs. Jeez.
Under bowling himself, classic captain move.
Didn't have the fourth one in him. But no, it's good to see that they got their campaign off to a winning start, mate. And hopefully the boys they've picked, which is fairly similar on this weekend for the country champs, can carry on that form and get a match against the Central Coast boys on the 25th.
Well, we obviously see that a change of pools this year, so we've gone to the Southern Pool. So I'm told the boys are much happier about travelling down to the Nowra patch than they are about going to Inverell. So
is Central Coast, they made the final. Is Simon Keane play?
I don't know, mate. They're already through to the final.
Yeah, 25th of November at Bowral.
Yeah, lovely. Don Bradman.
Yes.
Yeah, by the museum there. So I think basically what we're looking at with that team, they've named a team of about 13. So obviously Rahul Bakshi comes in for Joe Price. And we'll probably open with Nick Watkins, I'd suggest. And you've got Nathan Price, Jacob Montgomery from Wall's End, Jed Dixon and Adrian Chad, Benny Balcombe, Johnny Durheim. Toby Gray comes in and young Robertson moves out. Loszczyk and Geary come in. I understand they were all sort of standbys for last game. I'm not sure who came in because obviously Jacob Montgomery didn't go away with them due to his finger injury. But I'm told he'll be fine for this weekend. Caught up with Monty watching the cup the other day, and the fingers coming good bit by bit, so that's good to see. But yeah, pretty strong squad, mate. There's a good mix of experience, a couple of junior players with Toby Gray and Benny Balcombe, a couple of players in their mid-20s as well through some of the more seasoned campaigners in the likes of your Price, Watkins, Nick Foster, those sorts of guys. So, and yeah, plenty on offer, plenty of bowling options, and a good batting depth as well. I mean, you have a look at it, Johnny Durheim's been pretty reasonable batting this year, and so they're batting all the way down to sort of, you know, 8 or 9, depending on where everyone else comes in. And you've got Brad Aldiss as well, who's, you know, essentially an all-rounder at West. So, I mean, depending on which 11 they go with, they could bat to 10 or 11.
Yeah, well, Foster's got runs in first grade before too, so...
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, I mean, if you have a team that, I mean, essentially, depending on what they're looking at there, you know, I mean, if you had Durheim, Foster, Aldiss, and Geary, like, or Loszczyk, like, you bat to at least 10, and, yeah, look, I think they'd be very confident from speaking to captain and one of the selectors, Nathan Price. They're quite confident of their games this weekend, mate. So they've got 3 games across the 3 days. They'll be on there. They would have actually got down there about now. It's Thursday night. They left this afternoon, I understand, about 3:30 or so, and went down on the bus. And, yeah, we'll be pit stopping in Bury tonight, I understand, and getting ready for the first game, which is tomorrow. And, mate, you've got the schedule there, so run it through.
Yeah, first game tomorrow, mate, is against Riverina at Bury, like you said. So they'll be looking to get off to a flying start and carry that on over the weekend. Saturday's game is at Warrayee against Greater Illawarra. And the Sunday game is against ACT Southern Districts back at Bury. So three hard fixtures there, mate, all one-day games. So
yeah, mate, certainly some... So they've got a little bit of travelling between the days. I was of the impression that they were looking at Nowra initially, but yeah, that could just be the name of the oval as well, mate, so don't stress too much. But yeah, plenty happening there. So that's pretty much the cricket wrap this week. We'll move right along to wrap up the show. Oh, sorry, we do have one final thing to talk about, obviously, and that is Wall's End Zone. Jason Sanger, mate, the young man who I understand made his first grade debut under the tutelage of Brett Jackson at about 13, went straight from fourth grade to first grade in one off season.
That's handy.
Yeah, I was having a bit of a chat with Jason at the Shield yesterday when it was washed out, mate, and he was giving me a bit of background. He did play a couple of years of juniors. Toronto will not let anyone forget that. So he did play a couple of years of juniors there and then moved over to Wall's End. He actually was found himself a batting coach by the name of Matthew Wicks. Now, anyone that knows Matthew Wicks knows he's not exactly renowned for his batting. Well, he's held the bat all right a few different times. But apparently Wicksy came in and applied for a job at Derby Raj, which is owned by Jason's parents. And... on there was a lot of cricketing references, and Jason's mum rang Wixie and said, "You've got a very impressive resume. Would you like to coach my son at cricket?" So, yeah, he became his batting coach. Then when Wixie went overseas, Wixie handed him off to the great Brett Jackson, and Jacko was on board as the first grade captain coach the next season and sort of said to Jason, "Look, I think you're ready," and dragged him straight into first grade. And Jason said it was certainly an eye-opening experience and hasn't looked back, mate. Gone on to make his second first-class 100 on Tuesday. He brought that up, so alongside fellow teenager Jack Edwards. So, mate, very impressive by Jason, and congratulations to him. Look forward to seeing him go on to bigger and better things, and hopefully he can get some runs this week against Sutherland. A big game, Rambert Petersham versus Sutherland. Big names involved, Watson, Warner and Smith, as well as Sanger and Sams, just to mention a few, mate. So, yeah. Big opportunity for the young bloke up against some more top-quality opposition, and I think the next Shield game is only a couple of weeks away, so he'll be back in action for
later next week. Yep.
The boys in the Sky Blue, yeah, so they've got a couple more games to go before the Big Bash kicks off, so plenty happening. Before
the test teams announced.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be in that one. I think that's a bit early, old Kerry O'Keefe, but
yeah.
Look, at the end of the day, Kerry O'Keefe's pretty accurate on it in that technically he is one of the more gifted players that's come through. Look, there's a couple of chances through the slips in his innings, but, you know, like Jack Edwards looked a lot flashier in terms of how he brought his ton up, and that's his nature if you look at the, you know, the strike rates and those sorts of things. But, you know, Jason, obviously the New South Wales coaching staff, Phil Jackson, had some faith in him. He did get a pair in the game before, but they promoted him up the batting lineup, and, you know, there's a little bit of early wickets falling, and he had to step up. And, I mean, had they not, then, you know, potentially we look at a different result after that game. But, yeah, well done to Jason. Couldn't happen to a nicer bloke. Absolute just gem of a guy. And, yeah, congrats, mate. And look forward to seeing him going on to some bigger and better things.
Yeah, and hopefully you can get the Blues some victories, mate. Get runs and some wins.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be nice, mate. Success. But that's about it from us today, mate. 45 minutes is probably enough waffling for this week. A bit lighter on.
On a side note, mate, the Hoppers went down disappointingly 6-5 last night.
I wasn't talking about it, mate. That's why. Mate, back-to-back losses, you're dying without me.
We need you back.
Yeah, right.
We need you more than Sam.
Yeah, well, I blame Murray Younger.
We need Rat back for the bounce, mate. Xavier's missing the bounce, so...
Yeah, righto. Well, we'll move right along, mate. That brings the show to an end. As always, make sure to, you know, engage in the comments on all our posts. We're really trying to build some more content. If you've got some, you know, things you want to see or just some thoughts and suggestions, let us know. We've got the player points going up for the Jets, the cricket, and also the which price is right. So remember, the public vote on that does have a lot of swing, so... Get around it. We appreciate you tuning in. SportsCastleAU on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also SportsCastle on YouTube if you're searching for those videos, but they are posted live in Facebook Watch as well. Big thank you again to our partners, the big one, Aerolax Australia, who've come on board as a major sponsor of Sports Shorts, Primax Sports Tours, and Matt's Mowing and Maintenance, which we're looking to hopefully have with the dispersal of the man of the week. We're looking to hopefully have something new around that maybe next week. I've got a meeting with the sponsor and we'll have a chat with him and see what we can come up with there. So hopefully we'll have something to tell you about next week.
Rugby League
Academy.
Give
out some gifts and we'll just, you know, in regards to our supporters, that's who we want to really get around and make sure you support them if you've got the opportunity. So, you know, if you're going for sports tours, if you need recovery gear, or you need some yard work or anything done around the house, get in touch with them. If you can't get in touch with them or can't find them, come to us and we can point you in the right direction. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks again for your time, mate, and we'll catch everyone next week.
See you guys.